Welcome to Real Flicks Reviews, like a book club for people who hate reading. This week is Ryan's picks. He picked the movie American History X, along with The Sun TV show, Season 1, Episode 1. This week we have Jonathan Charney, James Stevens, and Ryan Preston. So here's the description of American History X. A former neo-Nazi skinhead tries to prevent his younger brother from going down the same wrong path that he did. I got to do a few caveats with this for my review. I've seen
John
the movie a lot.
John boycotted it.
I did, and I have a specific reason. I've seen it a lot over the years. But I knew quite a number of people who liked this movie, not for the message, but the fact it had skinheads in it. And so for me, it has some, it brings up memories that I'm not particularly fond of. But I will say it's an amazing, well, I wouldn't say an amazing, but I love the cinematography. I love the story it actually does tell. It does have Edward Furlong in it. I think this is the last movie he's done.
Basically.
I know he's done other stuff. He did bit part in one of the CSI New York and other stuff.
Yeah, he's always going to be a young John Connor to me, though.
And yeah. Beverly D'Angelo, who
was the mom.
Every time I see her going, damn, she's still alive. No matter what thing she's in, I don't know why.
Actually, I'm looking up Edward Furlong. It looks like he's done some indie films still.
But my...
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
Assault
he didn't
on Wall Street?
Disappear.
Assault on Wall Street, though? Oh, my God.
So my rating is... do my best to kind of remove my biases from this movie. I'm going to give it a 3 out of 5 because, and the minimum because of Edward Norton.
Yeah.
He carries this movie, period. I mean, granted, he's in 99% of the movie, but he carries it more than anybody else in this movie.
I would agree with that Norton's role really made the film. I think if he wasn't in it, it'd be a shit film. This one... I mean, like, as far as I'm concerned, I really enjoyed this film. I totally have always dug this one. This one's a 4 out of 5 for me. Like John said, the cinematography is really well done. I really like the story.
I would want to add, I love the use of black and white in this movie.
Yeah, in the memories and things like that. Yeah, that was another great thing about it. I thought that was a nice touch to it. But... I mean, I really enjoyed this one. I think it's a great film, and it was put out very timely. Because, I mean, there was a lot of, as John said, basically being in high school at this point, there was a lot of, up in Northern California at least, there was quite a lot of people who were thinking they were skinheads and things like that. And they really got into this film, but a lot of them missed the actual point of the film. But I think the story was really well done, and I love a lot of the dialogue back and forth between Edward Norton and his old friends and things like that. And, I mean, a lot of the – basically him in prison things were pretty cool as far as what they did with it. I love the banter between him back and forth with the guy that he's back and doing the laundry and things like that with. It was really cool. So, I mean, there's a lot of good things about this film. So as far as I'm concerned, it definitely is a 4 for me.
Yeah, the hardest part for me in this movie was definitely my own natural bias towards it. Ryan?
You pretty much agree with everything you guys said. Edward Norton holds this thing together so beautifully. It's really just a showcase for how good of an actor he is.
Yeah.
But the story itself is pretty high concept, you know. Just you know, anybody can change, you know, no matter what your circumstances are. But the way they told it would otherwise come across as preachy. Usually, you know, this one it seemed to have just enough of an edge to it, like the way that they portrayed their home life. You know what I mean? You know, between their mom and the stepdad. Even remove the Jewish aspect from the stepdad, and it's still just like that was a no pull and punch kind of look into that sort of household, you know.
Yeah.
But
so what's your rating?
Yeah, this is a good movie though. I mean, no, solid 4. The other thing that really struck me, aside from just again the use of black and white, was just how well. And I never really bring this up, how well edited a movie is.
but really kept a good pace and managed to keep that tone throughout the whole thing. Even when it dragged a little bit down and it wasn't, you know, the exciting thing that it was, and, you know, you get a lot of the relationship between Norton and the teacher and things like that.
Yeah.
And I definitely think the movie kept you on
the teacher.
It definitely kept you on edge.
They ramped it up on a steady incline, like you're going up the beginning of a roller coaster.
Yeah, I was,
you know, and then right at the end of the movie, you just fall.
Now that's not something I think any movie, you know, any movie, no matter what, is really good at. It always keeping you at least interested in.
Yeah,
I mean, because even parts of Guardians of the Galaxy, I'm like, I don't care. Did Meatloaf play the psycho guy in this movie, the leader? I thought he played the skinhead.
No,
leader,
that was Stacy Keach.
Yeah. So what did, because Meatloaf usually plays all the psycho characters because he's really good at acting crazy. Like if you watch,
so he was
the
black Keach.
Guy. Because he was, if you ever watched
Fight Club.
No, the Black Dog.
Oh,
Meatloaf, for being kind of a B movie, Meatloaf played a really good crazy guy.
Yeah.
I'm being nice.
Now, I'm going to jump on the scene that I'm sure all of you guys have in the back of your mind.
The smile.
Yeah, the curb stomp. Like, that was a really well-done scene. I mean, even the guy getting his teeth down there, you can hear it kind of grinding against the curb right before he stomps it. Like,
that's still fucking, like nails on a chalkboard, dude. Oh man.
I remember when this movie came out.
Everybody wanted to give somebody a smile.
Oh, you're right. Meatloaf wasn't in this one. I was on the wrong thing. I remember when this came out, and everybody was talking about that scene.
Yeah,
like,
California Smile.
I didn't even know the movie, and people were talking about, dude, did you see this scene? That was...
That scene has never been redone, and I don't think it ever will. That was a masterpiece of cinematography.
That guy, you're right.
It can only be told in this kind of story with that kind of a message, you know, behind it. You know, it's like the same thing with comedy. Like anything, you can talk about anything if it's funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so yeah, it's you know, the reason that movies like Django Unchained can get away with it, they not get away with, but portray the things that they do, because it's important to the subject matter.
I see. I think it's becoming harder because I know when Django Unchained came out, he got a lot of crap for the N-word in some of the other scenes, even though if you actually see Tarantino's interview, he had a good reason for it. It fit the story. Yeah. And Tarantino usually doesn't have things in his movies for no reason.
No, that's the thing that people, the people that bitched about that sort of thing are the ones that just take it at face value.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And the score was... There was nothing in this movie that I didn't think, at least think, that was well thought out.
Well, it was such an interesting. James might be able to attest to this actually a little better than I can. What places like Venice Beach were in the 90s, early 90s.
I moved out of there like 91, 92.
Right, but
it was after the riots. So 92.
But Venice Beach. You know, if anybody's visited Southern California and gone to Venice Beach and, you know, seen the Muscle Beach and all the art and stuff like that and a bunch of hippies running around, I can even walk anywhere near that beach. You know, that was a very, very accurate portrayal of what that side of town was like.
It was. Like, yeah, you didn't go down to Venice Beach at all for nothing. Unless you were looking for a fight or to make a statement. That's really it.
The funniest part, I don't know if you guys have looked up IMDb on this movie, and maybe it's just the fact that where I'm from and the stuff I've read, they mention stuff like somebody had 88 on their T-shirt. If you don't know what it is, H is the eighth letter of the alphabet.
Yeah, why would
H
that be an issue?
H is obviously Heil Hitler. And so you had that. You had red laces. There were symbolism in this movie that is pretty much skinhead related. So reading this, I'm kind of like, somebody did their homework a little bit enough to make it at least feel authentic.
Well, the director was, you know, not, well, what is, Orthodox Jewish, you know, and, you know, I, obviously it's a very, you know, personal subject matter.
Pretty cute.
I didn't know he was...
Well, it's Orthodox Jews.
So. Yeah, this was kind of...
kind of crazy cues. Yeah, I would say, like, that really is kind of the portrayal of it. I mean, like, one of the scenes that's always stuck out to me was the mosh pit scene that they had going on when Norton went to go have a conversation with Stacy Keach. I don't remember his name in the film. But, like, that one... That's literally what the 90s mosh pits actually look like in the early 90s, and... I mean, you always had skinheads. I've gotten in skinhead mosh pits. Not one.
I would say mosh pits kind of toned
but
down.
The, yeah,
like
that was
2000.
a toned down mosh pit. But yeah, there was always guys stomping around like that, hitting each other. I mean, the kind of fights break out and it's fun. But yeah, that scene was always one of me that's like, they actually did their homework kind of like on that. And I've seen the basically racist skinhead bands.
That was
pretty legit.
Part of this movie for me, I guess, to kind of talk about my bias a little bit. The reason why this movie makes me uncomfortable is I knew a number of people who liked this movie for the skinhead part of it, but not for the fact that the story it was trying to tell.
Yeah,
at least
the message
at least that I got. I've read a little bit more into it, and allegedly the scene at the end was supposed to be about how Norton became a skinhead again because of the way his brother died.
Yeah.
You know, I do think that once movies are released, unless it's obvious, it's kind of up to the viewer to make their own opinion about it.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, it was, you know, they really had, you know, Norton's character trying to keep his brother, Edward Furlong, out of the whole skinhead thing, and he got into it anyways. And there's a couple scenes where he's like breaking it down, and Norton is breaking it down Furlong of like really what it's all about, and it's worthless.
Oh yeah,
and that's really what he was trying to say. And then I mean, you have the same thing kind of happen to his brother over just a stupid, idiotic thing, you know, that cost him his life. And Norton basically lost his life over a basketball game. You know,
you mean Edward Furlong?
I mean Norton. Norton played a basketball game.
Down
in Venice Beach. The guy showed up at his house to kill him.
You're right.
He curb stomped the guy, shot at the other guy. Anyways, blah, blah, blah. Spoilers. Anyways.
Lost his freedom, you mean.
So, yeah, that's pretty much what happened. And then he gets in there and finds out that the guys that he's been hating are just like him.
And then jail shenanigans happen.
Yeah. You know,
soap drops.
So, yeah. It was a soap on a rope. Don't mess around with that. Got to keep it on there. It falls off, don't pick it up.
But I knew a number of people who liked this. I also knew a number of people who had the same thing with the movie Blood In, Blood Out, Bound by Honor, same movie.
Oh, crap.
So it was, for me, this, I don't, personally, I can talk with anybody. I've had amazing conversations with all sorts of people. But for me, this movie brings up some very unhappy memories of some very interesting people.
You know, this one doesn't bother me like that, even though I've known a lot. Go.
What's interesting
are you talking?
Is
Siri up. Come on. Why are you taking so long?
No, that you know, you guys might be in a unique position to sort of point out that this is a relatively accurate portrayal of something for once.
Yeah.
You know.
It's funny you talk about that. Now I've known some people. I haven't known a lot. My always thought about this was it kind of like the Godfather thing. I've heard gangsters. There's a television show by the History Channel. There was a miniseries talking about the New York mob. And he said none of the mob guys dressed like the Godfather until the Godfather came out. Then they all dressed like the Godfather.
Right.
So
yeah.
was it a case of the chicken or the egg? On this movie, you know, would these people who I knew or other people knew, would they have been into it if it wasn't for the movie? Now, I'm not blaming the movie. I just always thought it was an interesting.
Well, that kind of goes back to the whole thing of like people are sheep. You know, I mean, like even the mobsters follow a certain, you know, portrayal of
that
themselves.
Goes back to,
you know, I mean, like how many do you think start acting like the Sopranos?
Well, that goes back to the Men in Black speech.
This is very simple. You know, it's the same reason that people want to be a knight or a pirate or a cowboy.
I want to be a pirate.
It's the hat.
Oh. I thought it was the eye patch.
Well, I mean, that's my point, though.
That's
the costume is part of it. You know, yeah. you want to, if you're going to swash some buckle, you want the fucking tri-corner hat.
Well,
you know,
yeah.
If you're going to be a gunslinger, you got to have your cowboy hat. And now all of a sudden they have this sort of like pop culture identity. So, yeah, of course, you can't blame them for living into it.
I would, to quote Men in Black, and this is actually one of my favorite movie quotes, a person is smart. People are dumb. Panicky, dangerous animals, you know. 1,500 years ago, everybody knew the Earth was the center of the universe. 500 years ago, everybody knew the Earth was flat. And 15 minutes ago, you knew the humans were alone on the planet. Imagine what you'll know tomorrow.
Totally. I'm so glad they didn't pick you to deliver that line.
Yeah, and I'm glad you committed it to memory for all of us.
They want somebody who can completely kill the spirit of the line in read it monotone. That'd be perfect.
You want to do the rest of the
scene
while we're here?
That was a little... So, I can repeat what I said.
Let's see. No,
Well, if it makes you feel any better, John, you're Hollywood's first choice for mispronouncing names.
Well, fuck yeah. I got something right. Besides my award-winning looks. I still stick with 3 out of 5 for this movie. Generally what I do is I kind of tell you my bias one way or another. 3 out of 5 is the lowest I think this movie deserves because of its technical merits in some aspect or another.
Go ahead.
Are you talking yet? Hurry up, talk. You done?
Come on, dog. One of you doggies speak.
I'm going to stick with a 4 because I really do think this is one of Edward Norton's big roles that he really did a fantastic job with. I even think Edward Furlong was actually a great pick. For his co-star.
I mean, looked like a bloated cadaver?
Yeah, not only does he kind of look like he could be related to Norton, but I think in his kind of starry-eyed kind of thing that he portrays himself as, which is basically all his roles, I think it fit really well here. So, I mean, it's definitely not a perfect movie, but I think for what it is, it was actually very well done.
Oh, yeah.
So,
Ryan?
Yeah, no, it's, Edward Norton, man, just killing it in this. One of his best performances ever, you know, aside from some, like, Fight Club or... which I think was like the next year after this. I mean, in the 90s, man, Edward Norton, dude, couldn't be stopped.
Yeah.
But,
he was, though.
Now yeah, I wish no, people sticking, would sticking with stop a four,
it's such a scene to scene, it's such a good movie, you know, yeah. And then put it all together and it's an edge of your seat good movie. So, one of those that I'd recommend to anybody who can stomach a little bit of, graphic violence.
Yeah, and racism, whatever.
Yeah.
So, ladies and gentlemen, we do have a Facebook page. You go to facebook.com/realflixreviews. Also, if you have a movie or any movie news you'd love our spin on or a take, you can get a hold of us there. You can also catch us on iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, and more. Now we're going to transition over to our TV show. So, James, you're up.
Do people actually use iPods anymore?
I have two of them.
I have one. I actually charged it recently. Anyways, so this one is a really strange role for Pierce Brosnan.
I was glad to see him.
I mean, I was too. I think his Texas accent is crap. I just got to say that, dude. I mean...
Well, it's easy to sound like American. I'm not quite sure if it's easy to sound like a Texan without sounding like the stereotypical big Tex, you know? Like, how would I pop that?
It's kind of sad to make fun of how Tex talk, guys. Come on.
But, Brosnan's type of thing is like, y'all.
Well, that's...
And he mumbles.
What did the Texans ever do to you?
Well, you either a lot of at least what I've noticed
they
from
didn't
a lot
kill
of
the
foreign,
Californians.
Foreign actors, you either sound like with a Southern accent or the Texan accent. You either sound like a stereotype, or you sound like Matt Damon in The Great Wall. You know, you have an accent for one scene and you don't the rest.
Hmm. As far as I am concerned, I mean, this basically is about a boy who, at a young age, was basically taken by I can't remember the tribe. It's not Cherokee. Do you remember what it was? I can't think of the name of the tribe. Anyway, sorry. But they basically take him and raise him in their tribe, and then they haven't kind of told you what's going on yet or how he got away and basically became a very well-to-do figure in his town. So, I mean, there's enough for me in the first episode that it's intrigued me. Haven't started the third episode. I've seen the second episode, but I haven't seen the third one yet. It's enough to intrigue me. I just don't know if it's one that I would recommend to people.
I think it's
slow pacing.
Yeah.
Kind of just sort of on the surface with just how they're you know, going about it. I don't know. It's
it is AMC, and as typical as AMC shows, it's pretty. There's amazing cinematography.
I was going to say, AMC is the owner of The Walking Dead.
Yeah, but if you look at the cinematography.
Yeah, I mean, the cinematography is great and everything, but I'm just like.
Well, I mean, it's a good quality movie, a TV show. It's worth seeing if you just want to see something clean.
I kind of think like this is something that they should be playing on the off season. So when like The Walking Dead isn't going or any other number of shows aren't going, have it going so that people can just kind of.
The Walking Dead's on hiatus right now, right?
No, they'll be back in like, what, 2 months? But Game of Thrones is coming out in like another month.
So the most interesting thing, there was, I think he was the president of AMC, was talking about how The Walking Dead on the violence scale is a 10 out of 10. They said this is a 2 out of 10.
The Walking Dead is a 10 out of a 10 on the violence scale?
Something like that.
I don't think I'd go that far. I think it's like a 7.
You and I and Ryan are not the typical people who are watching stuff like that. Just to let you know.
I mean, okay, hold on.
Banshee was almost a 10 out of 10. What? Oh, sorry.
Yeah, that was a violent show. But okay, there's my point though. In Walking Dead, I don't count zombies as violence anymore.
Yeah. As far as zombie on zombie violence, I mean, it's like maybe 4.
Well, that's the reason why I say you and I aren't, all of us here aren't typical movie viewers, because I still know people who consider that a very violent show because there's
shooting. It is a violent show and there is shooting, but I don't think any average viewer, we are all numb to the zombies at this point.
Yeah.
The zombies are just background noise.
Well, let me just put it this way. If they actually took The Walking Dead and kept it close to the comic book, Mahone nailed the governor's penis down to the floor and then open the door for his zombie daughter to come at him. If they had kept that in, you might be at an 8. So, I mean, come on. But he also raped Mahone.
Yeah, but talk to
Mahone
me when we get to Ichi the Killer territory.
Val Kilmer must have been really impressed with that scene.
Yeah, I'm sure he was. But this one, I mean, I don't think there's... Like I said, I mean, I've watched the second episode. I'm not rushing out to watch the third. So as far as I'm concerned, it's like one that if you got nothing else to watch, you can give it a shot. But I don't even think I'm going to get past number 3 or 4. So, you know, I think it's cool that Pierce is back doing stuff. But I think this was a bad role choice for him because he does not do a great job in delivering his lines. It's more muddled with trying to hide a British accent with the southern drawl. And that bothers me. That does. It's like I can't stand him talking. I mean, were you guys bothered by it? Or am I just pulling this out of
it? It's a bridge too far for me to see him in that role. It really is.
I agree.
And when it comes to accents, honestly, unless I'm paying attention to the actor more than I am the movie, then I normally just doesn't bother me.
But you can't really understand anything he says. I mean, just the marr is bothering me.
All of a sudden, he's Cagney. Why, you dirty rat?
Why, you copper?
Shit. There's copper. A reference most people watching this show won't get.
At least us three do.
Oh, they're going to get it because they're Ninja Turtles fans and they made the references.
Okay, yeah, I'll give you that one. All right. So this week is my pick, and I've got a couple of movies... ideas and going to do it kind of uncharacteristically. I got two movies. I don't know if we've done any of them. I've got three. I've got an Edward Norton movie.
Are we going to go up to four now?
No, it's three. Are you so sure? I've got an Edward
the
Norton.
Three?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I've got an Edward Norton movie. I got a Val Kilmer movie, and I got a Chris O'Donnell movie. So you two are going to help me pick.
Oh.
Okay, I wasn't paying attention.
Wait.
So I'm picking the Val Kilmer. So it's a Val Kilmer movie. It's an Edward Norton movie, or a Chris O'Donnell, Keith or Sutherland movie.
I want the Val Kilmer.
We just saw Edward Norton, and as much as I like Edward Norton, I guess that leaves
Val Kilmer and Chris O'Donnell.
I'm going with Val Kilmer then.
So hopefully we haven't done this movie, because I don't remember, but after 300 episodes...
After 300 episodes, none of us can be fucking bothered to look it up.
So what do you think it is, James?
Weird Science?
Real Genius.
Oh, that's the one I meant, yeah. Why did I say Weird Science?
I don't know.
I think they came out the same year or something.
He wasn't in that movie.
Yeah, that's the one I meant, Real Genius.
In my opinion, one of the greatest movies that came out of the 80s, at least one of the most amusing. So that's it. We're doing Real Genius. I gave... American History X a 3. James gave it a 4. Ryan gave it a 4. Next week is Real Genius of Val Kilmer. And as always, thank you for watching.